Welcome to Heartspeak Podcast, episode 53, Astrology for the Soul.
Welcome to the Heartspeak Podcast, where valuable insights are shared that bypass the mind and resonate with the heart. Listen, open your heart, become inspired, find the joy and fulfillment that awaits when you follow your heart. And now, here's your host, Dr. Christine Page.
I've always been fascinated by astrology, a little bit more complex than the numerology that we talked about a few podcasts back. But astrology to me is the imprint of your soul's destiny, that at the moment of your birth, you breathe into the world what you came here to do. Now, that may not be your belief system. You may believe that life just happens to you and certain circumstances seem to annoy you, but that's just the way life is. In fact, I believe you chose everything perfectly because you're a highly evolved soul, yes, and you chose the time of your birth, the place of your birth, the date of your birth, and who to be birthed through and how to be birthed. And all of those things happened, even though you may have been induced, you may have been early, you may have been late. You arrived perfectly in the perfect way. And I say that just before I start talking about astrology, because the moment you choose to come into a body, and I think that the soul truly enters the body at the time of quickening, when you feel the movement of the baby. And I think up till then, the soul is like, shall I, shan't I? So the soul enters around 18 to 20 weeks, 22 weeks. And it may not even be fully present, even up to birth, but it is making more of an imprint once you start to feel the movements. And so the whole circumstances of your pregnancy, of you being in your mother's womb, were also planned. They are also perfectly divined for your experiences. So if you go into a trauma because you can't get through your mother's vagina, you can't be born, that's the way your life's going to be led. And if you have the cord around your neck, that says something maybe about how you'll always feel that people are stopping you talking, or you didn't want to be here, or a matter of life and death, either I'm born and I strangle myself. I'm being very dramatic, but what I'm saying is there is nothing that happens by chance. And that if I look at your astrology chart, I can see even those circumstances in your astrology, that I can see how your life is going to be merely just by looking at the way you were born. Now, I'm not going to go into that today, but this is why I find astrology so fascinating. And people have said, oh, how can you believe such a thing that cannot be seen fully or easily? And I have to say my response is, how did you forget? I don't have to explain anything to you. I just have to say to you, do you not understand our relationship with the cosmos? Do you not understand how we fit into the greater picture? And just to put right at the very front, for some of you who may have heard about sidereal astrology versus tropical astrology, the sidereal is if we were living on a star, how would we see ourselves? Whereas tropical astrology, or what we call very typical astrology really, is how we live here on Earth. So there is a difference, and the Vedic traditions use the sidereal and other people do. But I think majority of us as astrologers are happy to use the one that really seems to be as if I'm an earth being. And again, this isn't the purpose of this podcast to talk about the whys and the wherefores of that. I just want you to be interested and excited by astrology. So I was brought up, as many of you know, in a more mystical homeland or home, and astrology was part of that. And when I first had a reading done, it was like as if something had blown my world apart, but I'd been seen. And the exciting part was, wow, now I can understand why some things are easy for me and why some things are a challenge. That's what I would like you to get out of astrology. Not necessarily that everything's either easy or a challenge, but there were things in the middle. But what are the particular strengths you have and what are your challenges? And how, by bringing all the pieces of you together, does this make you a whole person? So just go with me, the idea that you chose your destiny, you chose your parents, you chose your time and date and place of birth. And when we have those precise, they really give us a very firm picture of what are your challenges, what are your strengths, what are you here for, and also how to work with these different parts of yourself. Now, when I went forward, I used to practice astrology. I even was able to cast a chart myself, create it without calculators. Now, of course, I have a software package for doing that. And also, I learned about psychological astrology. That really fascinated me. I trained with people like Howard Sasportas and Liz Green because it felt that it was more than just what are you going to do or when's something going to happen or am I going to fall in love, or it felt more about who am I, and that's always been my interest. So when my husband and I got together, I said, you know, what I've always wanted to do is to create an astrology chart on the earth, a step-in astrology chart, and make astrology an experiential experience, instead of just a let me read you. And I'd seen this done. In fact, Howard Sasportas was one of the people I saw this happen with. And it was like, yes, this is the truth. That actually the wheel itself, the astrology, what we call spirit mapping, actually contains all the energy of all the planets that help you to know who you are. And so for the last 14 years, my husband and I have traveled the world, organizing, working with people from around the world on their own astrology charts in a practice called spirit mapping, which you are very welcome to look on our website, my website, christinepage.com, and you'll see more about spirit mapping. And in this, we only are able to take 9 people because each of those people, those participants, is given at least 50 minutes on their own, or I should say in their own chart, focusing on their own issues. And the other members of the group also interact with them, holding parts of themselves as we would do in psychodrama. Maybe again, Family Constellation has something similar. So everybody becomes different parts of you so you can see yourself more clearly. Because truly, we can't always see ourselves except through other people. And so we have been working in this way for, as I say, 14 years. And I have learned so much astrology because of listening to you, listening to participants tell me about what it means to have Mars in Sagittarius, or what it means for me to, for you to have Saturn in Libra. Now, I've read many books and I have looked at these things, but truly, there's no better experience than having yourself talk about what this means to you. Because I can actually miss things if I'm always only thinking it from my point of view. I also, I will say, look at your astrology chart if you have a soul reading with me or supervision with me. Again, these things are on my website under spiritual development. But I see now astrology as an essential part of my practice and start to look at and wonder how psychologists can work without understanding an astrology chart. Now, I have to just put a side piece in here. This is not the same as an Enneagram. It's not the same as looking at yourself in these ways because it's very specific to you. And what I like to say is I love the Enneagram, but you only know what you know about yourself. The key to astrology is that it will reveal parts of you that are unknown to you, which is really my job when I'm leading you around my spirit map, is to be able to say, do you know about this part of you? Like, no, I like looking at this part. So what am I talking about? You know how I talk about how I see the wholeness of who you are as a flower. And in the center of your flower is your soul. And around that flower, or around that center, are all these petals. And all those petals could be represented by the 12 houses that make up an astrology chart. So I like to say, in the center is your soul, and then all the houses are different petals. And when you have planets in those houses, it intensifies the importance of that particular house and that particular planet in your life. Okay, you with me now? I'm not going to be going much into the houses or even the aspects. Aspects are how do each of those planets interact with each other, because that's really more complicated, and I would seek the advice of an astrologer or even think about coming on one of my courses, because this is really about how do things relate. And over these 14 years of my husband and I doing this work, we have found that all the planets want to relate. So you can't just say, oh, it's just between these two. No, everything is talking at the same time. Every one of your planets wants to be heard. Some of them will have a louder voice than others. And clearly, we will avoid certain planets and their placements, such as in which sign and which house, because we find it easier to ignore them. Okay. Now, let me try and give you some simple ideas here. Again, I'm not being able to give you the same sort of advice as I gave in numerology, but I certainly want to give you enough insights for you, if you have had your chart done, for you to be able to even look at your chart and say, ah, that's what she was talking about. Or, as I say, look for an astrologer or even myself to help you through understanding who you are. Now, most people will tell me about their sun sign. Oh, I know, I don't know anything about astrology, but I know I was born as a Libra, a Gemini, etc. This is a good start. And if we look at the 12 signs, and there are 12 signs, and each sign could be seen in the sky, you might look up and you might say, ah, there's Gemini, ah, there's Cancer. And you might say, well, it doesn't look much like a crab to me, or it doesn't look much like twins. But the ancient mariners had an understanding of this is the only sky they ever looked at, or the only television they ever had. And they defined them and said, yes, these 12 zodiac signs, zodiac means little animals, we will designate as the 12 signs of astrology. Now, why did they pick those 12? Well, it just so happens that the planets, with the sun, the moon, Venus, etc., that I'm going to talk about, actually all go around the sun. Well, the sun obviously doesn't go around itself, but the sun, the earth goes around the sun. They all go around on an 8-degree swath. In other words, they roll around as if they were on a plate. And what the ancient astrologers did was say, wow, these things seem to move all the time, but the stars behind them don't move. So what we will do is say, this planet, let's say Venus, the stars behind it are Cancer. So we would then say Venus is in Cancer. And that's how that description came about. So those 12 zodiac signs are all stars, constellations, groups of stars. And those stars appear not to move. They do, but we won't go too deeply into that. But in comparison to the planets, which are moving around the sun, those stars, which are the backdrop, appear not to move. All right? So when the ancient mariners and the ancient astrologers looked out, they said, aha, Venus is moving in front of the constellation of Cancer. And therefore, we're saying Venus is in Cancer. Okay, and what they did is they designated each sign to 30 degrees. So literally, if you look at an astrology chart, each sign will go to 29 degrees, 59 minutes, and then move into the next sign. All right, and what do we mean? 30 degrees times 12, 360 equals a circle. So each sign is 30 degrees. And each planet moves in front of those signs or those constellation of stars. Now, I mentioned the sun and I kind of made a mistake if you want to see it like that, but only from a point of we see everything as if it's moving around us. We know it doesn't. We know that all the planets circle around the sun. But from astrology, we believe we are the center of the solar system and that the sun goes around us. And that's why I could say, aha, your sun or the sun when you were born had the constellation of Libra behind it. So your sun is in Libra. All right, I hope you're following with me. So what is the sun in your chart? The sun is your personality. And many people, as I say, will say to me, oh, I know what my sun sign is, but truly I want to say your sun sign is probably one of the least relevant planets in your astrology. It's your personality. And other than you having your sun in the 12th house, why do I say that? There are 12 houses. When your sun is in that 12th house, it can mean that you don't know who you are, or your sun is hidden to you. Your personality is hidden. But let that be on the side. For most of us, our sun is out of the 12th house, shining out, and we are doing it naturally. So I am a typical Gemini. I talk, I teach, I write, and I move my hands a lot. That's a typical Gemini. So when someone says, I am a Taurus, my sun is in Taurus, I want them to tell me how much they enjoy food, how much they enjoy music, how much they enjoy touch, and how important money is to them. If I've got a sun in Taurus, someone tells me their sun is in Taurus, and they don't like any of those things, I'm worried, because we do need to express our personality, our sun, fully into the world. It's our vehicle, our vessel for the rest of us. So you should be a typical whatever it is, whenever your sun sign is. Now, again, now this will depend on whether or not you've had an astrology reading done and you have a chart. And there are many astrology sites you could go to get at least your chart read, or you could see it. I like Astrodience, which is Astrodienst, but there are many others. And you can get a reading, a free reading, a free horoscope. All of these are wonderful sites. I like Kaffee Astrology as a good source of information. Now, the next one I'm going to talk about is the moon, therefore. So once you find out where your moon is, again, if you've had an astrology reading or you've got a chart, your moon is your instinctual self. So the sun is my personality, and my moon is more what happens, or what do I need each day to nurture myself? How do I nurture myself? We nurture ourselves through our moon. So a moon in Taurus, I'm sorry, dear Tauruses, moon in Taurus, you'd nurture yourself by eating. Moon in Scorpio, maybe by dancing, by drama. Moon in Libra, through relationships, making sure each day you relate to people. Moon in Cancer, making sure that you have hugs every day. You're with your family. And most of the time, our moon will be highlighted when we are stressed. In other words, if you're not meeting the needs of your moon, you will feel that. My moon is in Aquarius. I need time alone. So when I don't get that time alone, I get stressed. So I know that when I'm stressed, I'll often say, hey, I need to leave. I need to go off. I need to walk off by myself. And that will help calm me down. So knowing where your moon is really helpful. And especially to the people who live around you. It's almost like we should tell people when we marry them or we have children, hey, this is what I need in order to live with you. These are my basic instinctual needs to nurture me. And if you meet these needs, I'll be one very happy person. The next thing that we look at, and I'm going to come back to the ascendant, and some of you may know that, but I'm going to come back to that. I'm going to go through the planets now. Mercury. Mercury rules Gemini, rules Virgo, but it's how do I learn? What do I learn? How do I speak? What do I like reading? And I always say that I could listen to you and know where your Mercury is by the way you speak. So if you speak very slowly and slightly pedantically, I might think your Mercury is in a Earth sign. Now, what are the Earth signs? Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn. But if you speak very fast and you've got to talk about things very fast, then I might think it's in a fire sign. What are the fire signs? Aries, Leo, Sagittarius. And if you just love speaking, then you may well have a air sign Mercury, which is Gemini, Libra, Aquarius. And if you speak very much in a sing-song manner, and you like to actually put some emotion into it, you may have a water sign Mercury. Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces. All right, that's Mercury. Venus. Venus is, what do you love doing? Venus, you should be doing what you love doing. So Venus in, let me try and find the Venus in Leo. Leo loves to be in the spotlight. So I love entertaining people. I love acting. I love leading people. As long as I get approval, that's the needs of the poor old Leo. Make sure you give it lots of clapping. And then the next one from there is Mars. Now, Mars is very important. Years ago, I was running a group, a large group of about 100 people, and we actually let everybody know what their Mars was in their chart. We gave them that information. And what was fascinating is when we put them together in the groups of the 12 signs, they were more similar in their Mars than they were in their sun sign. Mars is 80% of our physical energy every day. So knowing where your Mars is so important, because it's how it can, it's how your physical energy is used, best way of saying it. Mars is ruled by Aries. It's about fire. How is that fired up? What is your passion? And my concern is either your Mars can become your obsession, or you're not using it enough. And both are out of balance. In other words, my Mars is in Capricorn. So Capricorn is all about hard work, responsibility, duty, et cetera, et cetera. I find it very difficult not to be thinking about the next thing I need to be doing. So I can feel that I have to watch my Mars in Capricorn and not keep making lists of the next things that need to do. Whereas I meet other people who have maybe Mars in Scorpio. Scorpio is about the deep, intense emotions, the occult, death, sex. And these individuals with Mars in Scorpio should have an outlet for all those things. Drama, dancing, drumming, poetry. And they may, especially if they're a woman, walk into a room and you're just looking at them and going, wow, what a beautiful, sensual woman. So when I see a woman who has Mars in Scorpio and she's not using that sensuality, she's maybe walking very stiffly, I'll be a little worried that she's actually hiding her sensuality. And that can actually be a challenge because it might come out through moodiness or passive aggression, which is very many parts of the Scorpio can be moody. So what's important about Mars is that you use it. Use it, otherwise you spray it on other people, and that's really not acceptable. So if nothing more you'll get from this podcast, please find out where your Mars is. Okay, moving on from that, we look at Jupiter. Jupiter is a very big planet, 1,000 times the size of the Earth. Jupiter is about expansion. Most of us are doing our Jupiter. It's where our enthusiasm is, our expansiveness, our travel. So wherever you have your Jupiter, it's very, yay, let me go there. Now, of course, again, poor Taurus, I'm coming back to you. Jupiter and Taurus, maybe you're always eating food or you're always spending money. You maybe just have to kind of temper it back a little bit so you don't go wild. And then the next one is Saturn. And Saturn is very different. It's very structured, very orderly. And Saturn is one that many people say, oh, I hate my Saturn, or I feel restricted. And Saturn is Where do I feel restricted? Where do I feel limited? And Saturn is so much about not only what am I here to learn, but what am I here to teach? So Saturn in Virgo, for instance, maybe I feel always I'm never good enough. Virgo is very much about not feeling good enough, not feeling I need to do more, I don't deserve love, there's something wrong with me, very much about the inner critic. And when Saturn is there, it can cause someone to have very low self-esteem, very low self-value. But to heal this would be actually to love everything about yourself. That's the higher level of Virgo, to have compassion for yourself, to say, I'm an okay person. And then to teach that to other people. So with Saturn, whatever it is we're learning, it is also what we came here to teach, to empower other people perhaps, or to help people to like who they are. Saturn is also, I've found, more connected to the father than anything. You could say the moon is connected to the mother. But wherever, what I'm recognizing is Saturn has a very strong connection to your father. And wherever he may be limited, maybe where you are limited. Or what you needed to do is to take back your power from your father and to live your life freely. So there is a strong correlation I'm wanting you to see between your father and the Saturn. Again, don't want to take that too much further, but that's something I've seen. The next is Uranus. Now, these are what we call generational planets. What I mean here is they now affect a larger group of people. So here we might be looking, Uranus takes 7 years to go through a whole sign. And so what you're looking at is almost a generational challenge where we might say for the last generation, oh, they're nothing like us. We weren't like that at all. And then the next generation will go, oh my goodness, what are they doing? This isn't like us at all. And Uranus is very important. It is about really rebelling. So it's like that generation rebels against the last generation by new ideas. So my generation, I was born just after the war, Uranus in Cancer. During the war, many people, many women went to work because the men were away, or even the women would go away. And what happened is after the war, families were never the same again. Cancer is all about family, family traditions, warmth, hugs, touching. And what happened, my generation, was the family will change. Now, just recently, we've gone through Uranus has been in Aries. So there's been a lot of rebellious energy, uprisings, the Easter uprising, lots of change where Aries is about newness, new ideas, adventure, war even. So we've had a lot of wars. But now Uranus has gone into Taurus and it will be there now for the next 7 years. And this is more about new ways of working with the Earth. New ways of feeding ourselves. Taurus is again about food, nature, the land, this interest in how can we become better guests on the land? These are all Taurian ideas. So your Uranus is, where am I rebelling? How am I different from the last generations? Next one is Neptune. Neptune is different. It's about the mystic. It's about idealism. It's about how do we bring an even larger changing consciousness? And what I would say to you is that when you want to look at your Neptune, go back to the time you were born and ask, what were the films, what were the movies, what were the books being written at that time? Because they will represent what you came in with, what your Neptune represented. So again, sorry, I use my example, Neptune in Libra, was very much about how to be a good wife or how to be a good person in relationships. Libra is all about relationships and fairness, reasonableness. So Neptune in Libra was about this image of the nice little wife who made the nice little meal for the nice little husband who would come home and we'll all be harmonious. So a lot of books and films were written in that way. Well, of course, many of us have been suffering from that problem, that idealism, for a long time. And Neptune presently is in Pisces, which is its own sign, each sign being ruled by a different planet. So we have seen this expansion in consciousness, virtual reality, AI, all of these things are part of Neptune being in Pisces, which is both good but also frightening, because we're losing ourselves sometimes in altered reality that doesn't help us to ground ourselves. Next planet is Pluto. They tried to get rid of Pluto. They didn't manage, because Pluto is actually the goddess of the underworld, not a god at all. And Pluto represents your strength, your power, your goodness, your talents. So Pluto is transforming us always, wherever it is in your chart. Pluto at present is in Capricorn. You've heard me speak about this. Pluto is transforming structures that need to die, corporations, institutions that really need to be transformed in order for us to live a freer life. A couple of other things before I end. Chiron. Chiron is your wounded healer. Chiron has a story about actually not being able to heal himself because he was half mortal, half immortal. And so he had to go and help everybody else heal, but couldn't heal himself until he became mortal, could die, and then be brought into the stars. So Chiron is, where am I wounded and where can I help other people heal? North and South Node, you'll often see, sending node, descending nodes. These are, the South Node is where you're coming from, what gifts are you going to give to the community? North Node, what are you going to give to yourself? How can you help yourself this life? And finally, Midheaven and Ascendant. Midheaven is and Ascendant are very focused on the time of your birth. If you don't have the right time, you really can't define your Midheaven and your Ascendant. Midheaven, my career. What am I going to be known for? What's my reputation? What's my authority? That is so important. Know your Midheaven and see it as something, and you need to live that. Mine is Gemini. So I'm here as a teacher, a speaker, a writer, etc. If you're a Gemini Midheaven, you're not doing any of those, time to change your job. It's very simple. You must be living your Midheaven. Finally, your Ascendant. Your Ascendant is like gathering everything I've just talked about together. And then you become your Ascendant. What am I becoming? What am I ascending into? And when you're ascending into that, that is what you are bringing together into your wholeness. I hope I've given you enough to get you excited about astrology. I could, of course, go on forever because I'm a Gemini, but I want you to feel that this is information worthy of you to help you on your path. If you're a practitioner, to help the people around you, and not to get lost into small into all the small details. Lots of books don't help you. I'm giving you small ideas which can help you expand your knowledge, not to get weighed down by it. And most important, of course, is listen to your heart. You will know when things are right and wrong. Follow your heart. You can't go wrong, but your astrology is helping you to know that heart. Until next time, many blessings.
Thanks for listening to the Heart Speak Podcast with Dr. Christine Page. Remember to check out other episodes in the podcast archive section on www.christinepage.com. And do share with friends, family, and colleagues. Join us next time for another edition of Heart Speak.